You know, that's true. God will never withhold anything from his people. A lot of times we, and I'm glad she gave that word, and I'll show you why in a few minutes. A lot of people don't understand why some people get blessed, other people don't get blessed. I'm going to share some of that with you this morning. But a lot of people think, well, you know what? They do a little bit, God blesses them a lot. I do a lot, God blesses me a little bit. And I'm confused by that, but I want to share something with you. In 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning, you pray that God would have his way. I felt impressed to deliver this message to you today, because I think a lot of people are doing a lot of things, putting forth a lot of effort sometimes to do things, but what happens is they're trying to do the right thing the wrong way, or they're trying to do the right thing in their mind, but it's not what God called them to do. Or they're attempting to do something that they feel is right, and God says, no, that's not what I want done. So it gets confusing. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. You pray that God would have his way this morning. This story, this scripture that we're about to read is about a man by the name of Elijah. And we all know, if we've been in church very long, we know about Elijah and the things of Elijah and some of the things he did. He's the prophet that called fire down and burned the altar after he had poured water on it. All those things are miracles from God. He's the man that prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for several years. Amen. Then he's the man that prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. So he had power with God. But I want to talk to you this morning about a very interesting verse of scripture that I found in 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I will have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to come into the house of the Lord. We thank you for each one that's come out this way today. I pray, God, as we look into your blessed word, that you would have your way in this part of the service. You know the needs that are present this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that not one person would leave this service with a need unmet. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips, that I might preach the word of God under the anointing with the unction of the Holy Spirit of God today, that I might say those things that would be pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that you would anoint the ears of these hearers, that they might hear the word of God, apply it to their life, and be better for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning. If I were to have a subject or a thought for this message this morning, it would be, don't let your circumstances control what you believe. I think a lot of people do that, amen. I think they trust God, they believe God until a problem comes along or a heartache comes along or something comes up in their life, and then they change their belief to adapt it to the problem. Amen. There's a story told, and I read it just the other day. How many of you know who the world's greatest detective was? Sherlock Holmes. And he had a sidekick or a partner by the name of Watson. And Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson had gone camping. And they were out in the wilderness, out in the mountains, let's say, and everything was going good. They were in their sleeping bags asleep. And in the middle of the night, they awoke. And Sherlock rolls over and he looks at Dr. Watson and he says, Watson, what do you see? And Watson looked around him for a minute and he says, you know, I see a million stars. It's beautiful up there. There's just stars everywhere. You can see them all. And he began to describe them. And Sherlock Holmes said to him, Watson, what does that make you think? And he says, that makes me think that there must be a creator that named all those stars, made them, flung them into space. It's greater than I can understand. They lay there for a few minutes with Dr. Watson contemplating what he'd said. And then he turned to Sherlock Holmes and he said, Mr. Holmes, what does it make you think? And Sherlock Holmes says, I think somebody stole our tent. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Amen. We overlook the obvious trying to get to something complicated. And Watson was looking at all the stars and fascinated with all of God's creation. But when they went to bed that night, they were in a tent and it was no longer there. It was gone. So there was a problem. And sometimes somebody steals our tent and we don't even realize. It's often been said that we can't see the forest for the trees, you know. And that's a sad thing when it comes to the things of God, because we need to understand and we need to realize that God has a plan and a provision for every one of us. And I'm here to tell you this morning, as long as you're in the perfect plan of God and you're walking in the plan God has for you, whatever it is, then there's where you'll find perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect love, perfect contentment. So a lot of times, those things are gone out of our life, and we're so busy looking at the circumstances around us that we fail to realize somebody stole our tent. Amen? One of the greatest lessons we can learn out of this scripture that I just read you, and it's something that people have a real problem with, is that God doesn't reveal His complete plan for your life or my life immediately. How many of you know that God reveals His plan for you step by step? How many of you realize and understand that until you're obedient with the first step, God won't reveal the second step? Amen? So we can learn something from this scripture that I read to you this morning. Note verses 3 and 4, and I want to share them with you again. Get thee hence. Now, Elijah had just told the king, it's not going to rain anymore till I tell you it's going to rain. Because I've prayed and I've stopped the rain. There's not even going to be dew on the ground. Now, most of us living in Colorado know what it is not to have rain, especially in the summer times. I try to grow a garden and end up watering it for the most part all summer long because of a lack of rain. But Elijah had stopped the rain here completely. And then God told him something. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The Lord told Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. The provision is there. It's not somewhere else. It's over by the brook Cherith. God said to Elijah, you go over to the brook, you drink of the brook, and there at that brook I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Now I want to slip something in here and let you know that had Elijah went anywhere else except to that brook, he would have gotten hungry. Because God's provision was there. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now imagine this for a minute. If Elijah was disobedient and went somewhere else, those birds would have really been confused because they were taking provision to the brook Cherith. So Elijah was told by God to go to a specific place at a specific time, and something specific would happen. He said, you go over there, and when you get there, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, we want to create our place of ministry. We want to create our time of ministry. And most of the time, you and I, especially in modern America, we want to do it at our convenience. But God has a place for you over there. It's called there. And when you get there, God will provide for you there. But any time that you're trying to do it another way, you're going to get hungry. You're not going to be under God's provision because God's provision is over there. And you're over here. Notice another thing about this. God didn't send the provision to where Elijah was. He told Elijah, he said, get up and go over there. And over there, I'm going to feed you. There is a place over there for you, a place over there that I will honor you, a place over there that I will provide you, but that place is not here. It's over there. Our provision will not arrive here. It's over there. It'll not arrive at our place of convenience. It'll not arrive at our place of decision and the place we decide to serve God. It will arrive at the place where God sends you to be. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Each of us, as God's children, have a place called there. In that place called there is where God chose you to work, where God saved you to be, where God intended you to walk, where God planned on you doing His will in your life. And until you get there, you will not get the provision of God. That's why we struggle and spend so much time trying to provide for ourselves, because we are not under the perfect will of God, because we're not at our place called there. The place called there is that place where God's blessings are waiting. Had Elijah hesitated or not gone, the ravens would have been there, because God said, I commanded the ravens to bring the food to feed you. He said, the brook is running water, and I want you to go there because there's water there, and I've made provision for you there. But if Elijah said, you know what, I think I'll just go down to Samaria, then God's provision would have been at the brook Cherith. The water would have been at the brook Cherith, but Elijah would have been out of God's will. How many of you understand what I'm saying this morning? You see, many people in the modern day church of America are not seeing God's provision in their life because they aren't in the place God called them to be. They're not in their place called there. Some are not seeing God's provision because they're not doing what God intended them to do and called them to do and reveal the first steps to get them started in that process of doing what God wants them to do. There's something else you need to know about this place called there. Go on down in 1 Kings 17 there, and let's read verses 5 through 9. Not only is there a place called there where God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's where your provision is there. When you get there, it'll be there. But look at verse 5. So he went. Elijah obeyed God and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He obeyed God completely. Word for word, he did what he was told to do. And guess what? God did what he said he'd do. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. He enjoyed the blessings of God. Amen. But notice verse 7. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Now you know why the brook dried up? Because Elijah had commanded that it not rain. Anytime you don't get a resource, anytime you're taking water out of the well and it's not being replenished, anytime the supply is not being replenished, you just keep drawing out, drawing out, drawing out, and you're not putting anything back in, it's going to dry up. Amen? But listen to this. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, remember I told you God reveals his plan for you a step at a time, not all at once. God's plan for Elijah in the beginning was go over to the brook Cherith, and God was going to provide for him there. But there came a time when that circumstance changed, when Elijah's circumstance changed, and God had other plans for him. Listen to what he said. Verse 9, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Ziphah, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God says the second step of my plan for you, Elijah, is to get out of the brook Cherith, which I started you at, and I provided for you there. But now I need you to go over to Zarephath, because I've got more provision for you over there. I've got better provision for you over there. And besides, I need your ministry over there, Elijah. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that place that God has chosen for you that is called there will change during your lifetime. Hello? It won't always stay the same. There are differences. If Elijah had not gone to the brook, he would have lost his provision. But if Elijah had remained at the brook after God told him to move on, he would have still lost his provision. Because there came a time when God changed the place and plan of his provision. I say to you this morning, partial obedience to God never works. The first step will work if you take it. The second step will work if you take it. But if you choose to stop somewhere along the way, then the provision of God will stop in your life at that point. I've heard people say, well, you know, God called me to preach or teach Sunday school 25 years ago. But I ain't been teaching the last 10 or 15 years. I got a feeling that God told you to do something else 10, 15 years ago, and you're still trying to consider yourself a Sunday school teacher. How long has it been since you've heard from God and God told you to move on from where you are to another place called there so that God could provide for you there, but you're still here waiting on God to do what He's always done, waiting on God to commit the things He's always committed to you, and it just seems like nothing's happening, and that person over there is being blessed, and that person over there is being blessed, but I'm not getting blessed. And I'll tell you why, because you're still in the wrong place. God said, go over there, my provision is over there, and you're still sitting here. That's what happened with us. Here's a very important lesson that we can learn. After great victories in the Lord come great tribulations. Did you know that? If you'll flip over to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, you'll notice something. Elijah had successfully defiled a king. He had defiled his armies, defiled his prophets, and all the people in the nation. But the next day, after Elijah's greatest victory, he got a note from a woman. And it caused him to run in terror. I said, don't let your circumstances determine what you believe. If you're in the center of God's will and you're in your place called there and God is providing for you what you need there, don't run when the enemy shows up. 19 and verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Now here is a man who had just pulled off, and if you'll read this, and I'm not reading it for the sake of time, the rest from 17 to 19, you'll find some of the great victories that Elijah had succeeded in because of his obedience. The widow had fed him. He had raised her son from the dead. He had defeated King Ahab. He had defeated the prophets of Baal, called fire down from heaven, and all this. And he gets a note from Jezebel, and Jezebel's King Ahab's wife. And she threatens his life, and it scares him to death, and he takes off and runs. And he said, Lord, I might as well just say, it's over. It's over. My God, he just had the greatest victories of his life. But I want you to know, when you go to a new level with God, you run into a new devil. Amen? There will always be a battle with the devil. So what did Elijah do? If you'll notice verse 10 of chapter 19, you'll find out he had a pity party, and that's something most of us are good at. I've had those myself once in a while. Amen? Just toss in the towel. I'm just going to quit. Nobody cares but me anyway. Whoa, he run off and got in a cave. Now, you got to picture this. This is the greatest prophet of God to this day, pulled off the greatest miracles of God to this day. In verse 9, you find him in a cave, hiding out from one woman named Jezebel, who had just sent him a note. She hadn't even talked to him. She just sent him a note, said she was going to kill him. So here he is in this cave, and notice verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and with a sword, and I... Whew. There's a thing in the body of Christ called I-itis. How many of you know what that is? When I become the most important thing about the whole operation, it's called I-itis. Listen at it. Even I only. I'm the only one, Lord, that's left. I'm the only one that cares. I'm the only one that's interested. I'm the only one that's doing anything. I. Anytime we get I-itis, we're going to have a pity party. Amen? Am left, and they seek my life to take it. And God asked Elijah a question. He asked that question in verse 9, and he asked it again in verse 13 that I want to ask you this morning. He asked Elijah twice, so it must have been a very important question. Look at what it was, right? The last sentence in verse 9, the last sentence in verse 13. God says, what doest thou here, Elijah? Let me translate that to the LaCroix English. What are you doing over here when I told you to be over there? You had a place called there where all my provision was, where I was honoring you, where I was glorifying my name through you, and I was showing my power through you. Your place was over there. What are you doing here? That's a good question for most of us. I say to you this morning, if God is not honoring you, if God is not blessing you, if you're not walking in the provision of God, my question is, what are you doing here? You should be in your place of there. Because according to my Bible, if you are in your place called there, God's provision is there. God plans that provision there. He puts that provision there. And God says to you, go there. Whether it be teaching Sunday school or preaching or whatever it is, whatever ministry God has for you, He will reveal it to you one step at a time. And as you take that step in obedience, He will reveal the next step to you. But He will always want you to go there to receive what He has for you. And as long as you're here, as long as you're there, as long as you're over yonder, hiding in a cave or feeling sorry for yourself because everybody else is getting blessed but you, you will never receive the blessing of God till you get in your place called there. And that's where God wants you, is in your place called there. I think of a young lady in the Word of God by the name of Ruth. How many of you know who Ruth is? Bible teaches us that her mother-in-law and father-in-law moved down to a foreign country because there was a famine in Jerusalem, and they moved down there, and their two sons married wives of that country. It was a heathen country, but the Bible says that it was her mother-in-law's name was Naomi. Wasn't long before Naomi's husband died, and she was left a widow, but it wasn't long after that till Ruth's husband died, Naomi's son, and her sister-in-law, both boys died. Now Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law. And Naomi is a widow. And now Ruth is a widow. And her sister-in-law is a widow. Her name is Orpah. And so Naomi decides, after all this trouble, that maybe they're not in their place called there. Maybe they ought to be up there where God started them out. So Naomi decides to move back to Jerusalem. And when she decided to move back and made this announcement that she was going to her place called there, her daughter-in-law said, well, we're just going to go with you. And Naomi began to try to talk them out of it. And she did talk Orpah out of it. The one, the Bible teaches us, turned back and went back to her home country. But Ruth decided to go there. Ruth was not from there. Ruth was an alien to Jerusalem. She knew nobody there. There was not anybody drawing her there, but she decided to go there. Why do you think that was? Because God said to her, Ruth, your place is over there. And over there is where I'm going to provide for you. So Ruth decides to go. You ought to hear what she said. Let's just flip back to Ruth. The book of Ruth. It's just back about two or three books. And hear what she says, the statement she makes to her mother-in-law. It's in the book of Ruth, which is right after Judges, chapter 1, and verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Wherefore thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. Ruth has a message from God. Ruth has a purpose in her heart from God. And Ruth has made up her mind she's going over there because that's where God's provision is for her. And we all know, to make a long story short, that Ruth ended up marrying a man by the name of Boaz. And if you will study the Word of God, you will find out that Ruth is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her lineage and her seed bear David, who ultimately come down to Mary and Joseph, and the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the lineage of Ruth. But if Ruth had not decided to go there when God told her to go there, she would have never met or married Boaz, and she would have missed out on being married to a very rich man. And she would have missed out on God's provision for her life. And she would have remained with her sister-in-law, Orpah, down in a land of bondage and a land of condemnation, wondering, what in the world is wrong with me? My husband died. I can't do this. There's terrible things happening. But Ruth chose to go there because God called her there. And when you and I decide to find our place called there in the Lord, when you get there, you will find the provision of God there. You will find that at that place called there for you, God has supplied your every need. So when we're being called by God into a service or into a ministry, we've got to decide. And there's always decisions with God. The first one is God died through His Son Jesus Christ for your sins. And if you decide not to accept that, you'll never be saved. But if you decide to accept that, you can be saved. But after salvation comes service. And when God begins to call you and say to you, I want you to go over there because over there is where I've provided for you. And maybe over there for you is, as most of you know, we're looking to buy a church bus. Maybe you're over there is driving that church bus in that ministry. Maybe you're over there is hospital visitation. Maybe you're over there is working in the nursery. I don't know where you're over there is, but I do know that there's a decision to make. When God calls you and says, I want you to go over there, He calls you to a commitment to a ministry. Now the decision is this. Are we satisfied with yesterday's victories? With what we've already accomplished? Are we satisfied with where we are? Or do we want to go there where God's provision is still flowing? That's the question. You have to determine the answer. Because I assure you, God's provision is over there. Wherever God has your place of there chosen, that's where your provision is. That's where your blessing is. That's where your anointing is. Folk, listen. And Albert, if you will, come on to the piano. I want to say this to you this morning. I have been around ministry for a long time. And I have seen people that I know in my heart God called to preach. They're trying to lead singing. I know in my heart that I met people that had the most beautiful anointed voice that I've ever heard, and God called them to sing. They're trying to preach, or they're trying to teach, or they're hunting some other. I'm here to tell you this morning, what we need to do is determine where there is in our life and get there, because that's where God's provision is. That's where God's blessing is. I know of a woman right now that has a beautiful voice that God has anointed. She's got CDs out. She's got everything else out. God has anointed this woman to sing. She's in a little church trying to lead a choir, Bruce, and it's not working. She can't. I talked to her the other day. She says, I can't understand. I can. She's not there. She's not where God planned for her to be. She's trying to do something else with her life, because it's more convenient for her. And my God, you and I both know that we all have a simple provision in theory. If it makes me comfortable, that's what I really want. But that's not always what God wants. God said, Elijah, get you up and go eastward over by the brook Cherith. You can drink of that brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Not here, Elijah. Not down in Samaria, Elijah, but over there. When we get to that place called there in our life, God will honor us. Our provision will be there. Everything that we need will be there. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. They choose a song as we sing this song today. If God has called you, God has spoken to your heart, God has a ministry designed for your life, and there's not a doubt in my mind everybody in this church has a purpose, or you still wouldn't be here. I'm telling you this morning, when God's through with his people, he calls them home. Calls them in his presence. We sang the song earlier, when we all get to heaven. And that's going to be a great time, but right now, you have a place called there that God wants you in. Your provision is there. Everything that you need, God has already provided right there. And it's waiting on you there. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart and there's a ministry that you need to be fulfilling and you haven't been, or maybe you just need to be committed to God and saying to God, Lord, whatever it is that you'd have me to do, wherever my there is, I want to go there. With every head bowed and every eye closed as they sing this song, why don't you just slip out of your seat and come right now and get before God. You don't have to tell me anything. Get with God this morning and let's get this thing settled. Folk, we've got a job to do. We've got a mission. And God has your provision in that place called there. All you have to do is go there, and God will supply your every need. Every blessing, every joy, every happiness, every peace that you've ever wanted in your life is right there where God wants you to be. As they sing, you come right now.
So long.
Sister Loretta. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. There's others this morning that need to be coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm free from the tears of death.
for a glorious crown. You want to be free? Find there and get in it. Amen. Come on now. Come on, obey the Lord this morning. Yes, hallelujah. Are you free this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, over the years, I have watched many a person who has struggled with life, and they've been in church and out of church. They've tried and failed and tried and failed. And I think I've told you this story before, but the little boy had just transferred from his baby bed into a bed with no sides on it, and he kept falling out of the bed. So one night his mother went in for about the third time, Bruce, and put him back up in the bed, and she said to him, "Johnny, why do you think it is that you keep falling out of that bed?" Johnny looked at her after he thought for a minute, and he said, "You know, Mama, I think it's because I stay too close to where I got in at." And I think there's a lot of people in God's army that are just like that. And that's the reason they keep falling out. They quit for a while, and then they're back, and they struggle. And it's tough because they're trying to figure out why other people are being blessed and seem like other people just go on and serve God and they're full of joy and happiness all the time. But those that keep falling out aren't. And I can tell you why. You haven't found your there. When you find that place called there, where God has your calling, your ministry, your provision will be there. Your joy, your peace, your contentment, your total satisfaction will be there. It's not anywhere else. It's there. Because that's the place God chose for you to be. I want them to sing one more verse. People are shackled. They're tied down, they're burdened down, they're trying to live under rules and regulations and things that other people have put on them. Folk, I'm telling you that when you get there, God will set you free. You can be free this morning. I want you to listen to this song. "I've traded my shackles for a glorious crown." Don't you want to be free today? There's freedom in serving a wonderful, powerful God who has a perfect place for you in the body of Christ, and He wants you to go there and fill that ministry that God has for you. One verse, Bert, then we'll close.
I traded my shackles for a glorious crown.
Father, we thank you this morning for the service. We thank you for each one that's come out this way. I thank you for our visitors and those people that you have brought here this morning just to hear this word, experience the service. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would touch the hearts of this people, those that should have come and didn't today. I pray, God, that you would leave this place with them. And Father, help them before the sun goes down on this day to bow somewhere before you and begin to seek your face. Father, that they might find that place called there for them, that they might find your provision and your peace and your joy and your love. Father, touch this church. We thank you for the ministry that you have created here and for those that you are bringing here to fulfill offices in your church. And I thank you for each one, those that are here already, those that are not even here yet, but they're on their way. God, I thank you for them. Anoint them. Send them to us that we might, Father, honor and glorify your Son and lift him up. Have your way in the heart of every person in this service this morning. You know their needs. I pray, God, that those needs would be met today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hello, neighbor. This is Pastor Terry LaCroix, and I thank God for the opportunity to come out your way with this message. I trust that as you heard this message today, that you're already in your place called there. But if you're not, I trust that God would help you to seek that place where his provision is for you and that you would get in it and enjoy serving the Lord. I would like to invite you to come and visit with us over at Harvest Time Tabernacle in Evans, Colorado. If you live in the northern Colorado area, say Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, in that area, just drop by and visit with us. We have church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, on Sunday night at 6 p.m., and we would love to have you come by and see us and visit with us. I'll tell you, we'll treat you so many ways you're bound to like two or three of them. Amen. You just come see us, visit with us, and let God have his way. God's building a work at harvest time, and maybe God intends for you to be a part. Maybe that's your place called there. You need to find that place and get in it. This is Pastor LaCroix saying, go with God, and he will go with you.